16.1. To me, this Chaturvarnya with its old labels is utterly repellent, and my whole being rebels against it. But I do not wish to rest my objection to Chaturvarnya on mere grounds of sentiments. There are more solid grounds on which I rely for my opposition to it. A close examination of this ideal has convinced me that as a system of social organization, Chaturvarnya is impracticable, is harmful, and has turned out to be a miserable failure. From a practical point of view, the system of Chaturvarnya raises several difficulties which its protagonists do not seem to have taken into account. The principle underlying caste is fundamentally different from the principle underlying Chaturvarnya. Not only are they fundamentally different, but they are also fundamentally opposed. 16.2. The former, Chaturvarnya, is based on worth. How are you going to compel people who have acquired a higher status based on birth without reference to their worth to vacate that status? How are you going to compel people to recognize the status due to a man in accordance with his worth, who is occupying a lower status based on his birth? For this, you must first break up the caste system in order to be able to establish the Chaturvarnya system. How are you going to reduce the 4,000 castes based on birth to the 4 Varnas based on worth? This is the first difficulty which the protagonists of Chaturvarnya must grapple with. 16.3. There is a second difficulty which the protagonists of Chaturvarnya must grapple with if they wish to make the establishment of Chaturvarnya a success. Chaturvarnya presupposes that you can classify people into 4 definite classes. Is this possible? In this respect, the ideal of Chaturvarnya has, as you will see, a close affinity to the Platonic ideal. To Plato, men fell by nature into 3 classes. In some individuals, he believed, mere appetites dominated. He assigned them to the laboring and trading classes. Others revealed to him that over and above appetites, they had a courageous disposition. He classed them as defenders in war and guardians of internal peace. Others showed a capacity to grasp the universal, the reason underlying things. He made them the lawgivers of the people. 16.4. The criticism to which Plato's Republic is subject is also the criticism which must apply to the system of Chaturvarnya, insofar as it proceeds upon the possibility of an accurate classification of men into 4 distinct classes. The chief criticism against Plato is that his idea of lumping individuals into a few sharply marked off classes is a very superficial view of man and his powers. Plato had no perception of the uniqueness of every individual, of his incommensurability with others, of each individual as forming a class of his own. He had no recognition of the infinite diversity of active tendencies and the combination of tendencies of which an individual is capable. To him, there were types of faculties or powers in the individual constitution. 16.5. All this is demonstrably wrong. Modern science has shown that the lumping together of individuals into a few sharply marked off classes is a superficial view of man, not worthy of serious consideration. Consequently, the utilization of the qualities of individuals is incompatible with their stratification by classes, since the qualities of individuals are so variable. Chaturvarnya must fail for the very reason for which Plato's Republic must fail, namely, that it is not possible to pigeon men into holds according to class. That it is impossible to accurately classify people into 4 definite classes is proved by the fact that the original four classes have now become 4,000 castes. 16.6. There is a third difficulty in the way of the establishment of the system of Chaturvarnya. How are you going to maintain the system of Chaturvarnya, supposing it was established? One important requirement for the successful working of Chaturvarnya is the maintenance of the penal system, which could maintain it by its sanction. The system of Chaturvarnya must perpetually face the problem of the transgressor. Unless there is a penalty attached to the act of transgression, men will not keep to their respective classes. The whole system will break down, being contrary to human nature. Chaturvarnya cannot subsist by its own inherent goodness. It must be enforced by law. 16.7. That without penal sanction the ideal of Chaturvarnya cannot be realized is proved by the story in the Ramayana of Rama killing Shambhuka. Some people seem to blame Rama because he wantonly and without reason killed Shambhuka. But to blame Rama for killing Shambhuka is to misunderstand the whole situation. Ram Raj was a Raj based on Chaturvarnya. As a king, Rama was bound to maintain Chaturvarnya. It was his duty, therefore, to kill Shambhuka, the Shudra, who had transgressed his class and wanted to be a Brahmin. This is the reason why Rama killed Shambhuka. But this also shows that penal sanction is necessary for the maintenance of Chaturvarnya. Not only penal sanction is necessary, but the penalty of death is necessary. That is why Rama did not inflict on Shambhuka a lesser punishment. That is why the Manusmriti prescribes such heavy sentences as cutting off the tongue or pouring of molten lead in the ears of the Shudra who recites or hears the Veda. The supporters of Chaturvarnya must give an assurance that they could successfully classify men and that they could induce modern society in the 20th century to reforge the penal sanctions of the Manusmriti. 16.8. The protagonists of Chaturvarnya do not seem to have considered what is to happen to women in their system. Are they also to be divided into four classes? Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra? Or are they to be allowed to take the status of their husbands? If the status of the woman is to be the consequence of marriage, what becomes of the underlying principle of Chaturvarnya, namely, that the status of a person should be based upon the worth of that person? If they are to be classified according to their worth, is their classification to be nominal or real? 16.9. If it is to be nominal, then it is useless. And then the protagonists of Chaturvarnya must admit that their system does not apply to women. If it is real, are the protagonists of Chaturvarnya prepared to follow the logical consequences of applying it to women? They must be prepared to have women priests and women soldiers. Hindu society has grown accustomed to women teachers and women barristers. It may grow accustomed to women brewers and women butchers. But he would be a bold person who would say that it will allow women priests and women soldiers. But that will be the logical outcome of applying Chaturvarnya to women. Given these difficulties, I think no one except a congenital idiot could hope for and believe in a successful regeneration of Chaturvarnya.